For over 10 years, we've been bringing you killer metal music and frank discussions about heavy metal. Wait, who the hell is Frank? You are tuned into MSR Cast, brought to you by Mainstream Resistance. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek and Sean the Metal Pigeon. Keep it metal.
Welcome, my friends, to episode number 225 of MSR Cast. I am one of your hosts. I am Kerry the Metal Geek.
I'm Sean the Metal Pigeon.
What's up, sir?
Oh, a lot. It's been a while since we've done a music episode.
Well, we play music all the time.
Yeah.
But this is all brand new music, mostly.
Yes.
Even classic tracks have been reworked in ways that are fresh and new.
Yeah, we're going to get
to
that.
Not necessarily great, but there. we'll get to that.
Certainly new, anyway.
Yeah, certainly new. How are you, sir?
Pretty good.
What have you been doing recently?
Oh, man. Really, just like a lot of music-related stuff. Listening to a ton of new music. I'm a little bit behind on the blog because I spent so much time this month basically going through the initial phases of trying to transform the Metal Pigeon, and part of that involved an aspect that I didn't foresee coming, which was me basically transferring the domain somewhere else, going from – this is going to bore a lot of people, but really quickly, if you know anything about WordPress
– I do.
There's WordPress.com and then there's WordPress.org. WordPress.org is basically just the software that you download and upload and install into your web.
And WordPress.com is the free version
thing that's hosted on their, like, they own it. So I got tired of having to do, like, to pay $8 a month for to take away their ads, and I thought that was just kind of a ripoff. So I decided, like, I can pay like $2.50 a month for web space and just install WordPress and just. And I had to go through this whole process of like exporting my files and my images and importing them, and somehow it all managed to work. And this is my first time doing it. So yeah, and so I finally, if you go to themetalpigeon.com right now, it's up. I have basically everything in 2019 looking pretty good. If you go to the older stuff, I'm sure it looks janky. Just bear with me. I'm trying to do the best I can, but it'll take me a while to clear some of that stuff up. If I see that site is down, I'm going to freak out because I just went to it like five minutes ago.
I just misspelled it.
Okay.
Wait a minute. You said it looks good.
Yeah,
I'm looking at it now. I'm joking.
Yeah. It's going to be different, but different is good. I'm still working on it. I'm still going to have like new features coming to it, like sort of like a different landing page rather than it just going straight to the blog, which I'm sure most people are used to, but you got to move with the times. And that's one of the things that really helps you on SEO. So you got to do it.
SEO is very important, sir.
Yeah.
That's one of the things I would like to do is redo the Metal Geeks MSR Cast website, combine some of our social media to a unified front type of situation. I just have to find the time to do it.
Just doing the visuals for this, which is just using basically like the theme builder and all that kind of stuff, it still took forever just to get something right.
If somebody out there is a fan of the shows, they want to help out either me or you,
web design a little bit, you know?
I would love to talk to you because I've been wanting a better design for a long time, really.
You know, so much of like, because with WordPress, it's just so much like just picking the right theme.
Yep.
And like the best themes are like the kind of themes you have to pay like $70 a year for.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know if that's worth it.
So. And the problem with that is you buy a theme and you pay the money to a developer. And if they stop supporting that theme or the platform that you bought, you're shit out of luck, basically.
Well, I mean, the old theme on the Metal Pigeon, the way it used to look, they stopped supporting that years ago. And I knew I should have changed it years ago. And when they started doing different software updates to WordPress, it's really started to mess up my site.
Yeah.
So that was my fault. I just was being lazy and just kept on delaying it. Anyway, moving past computer chat here. besides that, I went to Dallas, did a road trip to Dallas to go see Demons and Wizards.
You did.
And that was like an adventure.
Yeah, I want to hear about this because I unfortunately did not get to go. I was somewhere in the middle of the ocean by that time.
Yeah. Well, that was a different kind of adventure, I guess.
Different kind of adventure, but I trust me, dude. I tried. I looked at the switching our dates on the cruise, but Once you're locked in, basically. Yeah.
You want me to talk about it now or you want to wait?
Let's talk about it right now.
Okay, so the show itself, let's just go straight to the show itself. The show itself
so
was...
So it was Tyr.
Yeah.
Lizzie Borden.
Yes.
And...
Demons and Wizards.
Demons and Wizards.
I can't believe how many people showed up for this. I think, shrewdly, the band limiting this tour to like a 10 or 11 date North American tour kind of worked in their favor because this was a Monday night in Dallas. And there were at least 800 people there. It was huge. Like, the attendance was huge. The venue is so big, it didn't look like that many people. But if you really looked at the crowd, you could tell, like, this is a crap ton of people. Huge cavernous venue called the Gas Monkey Live. I'm sure some people have been there. The band was amazing. I honestly have never heard Hanzi sound that good live. His vocals, I mean, I guess normally he has some problems in North America getting sick and stuff. He sounded great.
Yeah.
Schaefer looked good, sounded great, was playing awesome. Like, everyone just seemed happy to be there.
Now, I watched their performance from Wacken Live.
Yeah.
And I know they do Blind Guardian and Iced Earth songs in the set. Yeah. Did they do that here?
Yeah, they did two Blind Guardian, Valhalla and Welcome to Dying, and then they did two Iced Earth.
I Died for You.
I Died for You in Burning Times.
Fuck.
And Hanzi sounded really amazing on I Died
for You. I know,
He transformed that song. No disrespect to Barlow, but Hanzi had a special way with that song. So,
He has a lot of emotions in his voice. Yeah. Not that Barlow does not.
Right.
But I see what you're saying.
It was just cool seeing him do that song or do those two songs. And it was cool, likewise, seeing Schaefer play like Valhalla and Welcome to Dying. He was like really into it and stuff. It was fun. It was unique. But I mean, the Demons and Wizards stuff sounded great.
Did they play anything new?
No, nothing new. It was just really just the first album, and then they played like three or four songs from the second. Okay. I'm glad they balanced it that way because the second has a lot of weak spots on it. Lizzie Borden was fun. But they kind of wore thin after the first like five songs, and Tyr was good. But Tyr's problem, I think I've narrowed it down. They don't know how to pick a set list. They don't know how to pick the right set list for the right show.
Really?
You're opening for Demons and Wizards. Most of these people probably haven't seen you before. Like, put out your bangers, like your absolute hits, like the ones you know will get the crowd going. They started playing. It's a song off their third album that has like the really chanty. It's sung in Faroese. And it's really like a hooky song. And everyone went nuts for that. Then they played the kind of weak crap from their last two records. The new one's okay. But the one before that, they played like a song from there. And it's just like it fell flat. You could tell the energy just kind of went away. The chorus sucks. And it's just like, guys, play the hits. Play Hail to the Hammer. Play, I don't know, just any kind of awesome song in your old catalog.
Your repertoire.
Because you only have six. They only play like six or seven songs. Mm. And they played like four really weak cuts, and I was just like, "Yeah, Tyr has a problem with set lists. They have an overconfidence in some of this new material that shouldn't be there." You know, if you're headlining, play whatever you want, but if you're opening, you really need to impress the crowd.
I'm not going to shed a tear for Tyr.
And they made a point of saying they're going to be back in April. It's like, well, maybe more people would show up in April if you put out like a better set list.
Maybe they'll do a headline show.
It's going to be a headline. He said there's going to be a headline tour in spring.
That's cool, though.
Yeah. I mean, and again, you know, I've seen them headline and they played like a lot of stuff, like a lot, everything you'd want them to hear. But they just need to get better at picking set lists. So, but Demons, that was, I really feel lucky in seeing that. Not to rub it in or anything, but
No.
I know you feel lucky seeing Helloween and Aventasia, as you should. Yeah. I definitely think like this Demons and Wizards thing, I mean, I can't really foresee them touring on the new album because I know that after the album's released, they're both going to go into the Demons and Iced Earth, or Blind Guardian and Iced Earth, because your Symphony album will be released by then, and then he has to start writing the new Iced Earth record. So this is kind of it, I think, for this run. Maybe they'll tour again, and I'd be willing to drive back up to Dallas to see him again.
Me too.
Because as much as I trash on Dallas as a Houstonian, it actually was a nice experience in the city. It was out in the suburbs, like going towards Denton up there in the northwest side.
Did you run into any people that you know there?
Well, Brutal Dave was there.
Brutal Dave?
Yeah.
And
that was cool. And we hung out for a little bit. And I was after the show, I wanted to like hang out with them a little bit more, but they went to IHOP. And I was like, the last thing I need right now is pancakes, man. Because I just needed, we went to a convenience store right after because it was so hot that day. It was 107. We were so dehydrated. We went and got Gatorade and almonds. And beef jerky just to refuel after that show.
Did you crash in Dallas that night?
Yeah, we were at the hotel. And that's what I love about that venue. There's a Holiday Inn Express right next to the venue. There's a Motel 6 where we were right on the other side, a nice Motel 6.
Yeah.
And all these hotels.
Did they leave the light on for you?
No.
They did not. Fucking liars.
It's a shady Motel 6, but a nice one. But there's a ton of restaurants in the area, and anytime you go to you go to Scout Bar,
yeah,
and there's one really cramped Whataburger there,
yeah,
and then you have the freeway, and you're well, okay, I guess I'll have to wait till Sugarland to go eat food or something.
Well, there's a lot of shit over there, but
and it's over here in Dallas, there's convenience store, Taco Bell, Wendy's, there's a bar, there's a sports bar here, and it's there's all these options for after show entertainment, and there's a hard out before midnight. You have to be out of there.
Really?
Yeah.
What time did the show start?
Early. It was doors were at 6:30. Show started I think 7:30 on the dot.
Wow.
Because they have a hard curfew there, and then you look in behind the venue. There's the FBI building. You can see it right there. You're oh, okay, that's why there's a curfew in this area.
Right.
Yeah.
Got to get out.
Yeah. So
is it indoors?
Indoors, yeah. It's built into the same building complex as a studio movie grill.
Oh, really?
So that's nice for the bands. You're showing up there. You have nothing to do all day. Go watch a movie.
Yeah, you do your set, do your sound check, and then go.
Yeah.
That's not a bad idea.
It's nice, yeah. Big parking lot. It's cool. Those things matter when you're on a road trip.
Yeah, a little semblance of real life will make all the difference, man.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some music now.
Yeah.
We weren't talking about music. Let's talk about a band that just put out a brand new album
mm-hmm.
2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I think it's, 2 weeks.
Dominion from the band. How do you pronounce their name?
Hammerfall.
Hammerfall. There you go. One of my favorite bands of all time now, truthfully.
Yeah.
I dig this album a lot. It's not my favorite by them by any means, but it's a really solid album. There's just a couple spots on the album where maybe if sequencing was a little bit better, it would have been a better album in my eyes. I don't know. It's just some of the Never Forgive, Never Forget, I don't think should be the album opener.
Mm, okay.
I understand why that did because it had the little piano interlude.
Yeah.
There's just a couple spots on the album. I feel if they maybe have tightened up the set list, the sequencing on it.
Right.
I probably would have enjoyed it more, but it's a Hammerfall album. You know what you're getting.
Yeah.
There's a ballad. There's chanty shit. There's We Make Sweden Rock. I mean, you have all their hits. Their standard, song formula songs. How Hammerfall writes a catchy ass song. You're going to get this on this album.
Yeah, and that I've been critical of the last two Hammerfall studio albums on the podcast.
Yes.
I think they kind of did an about-face here, and they kind of righted the ship on this one. It is the most enjoyable Hammerfall album in the while for me. And I don't know what it is. I don't think they really did anything different. I think they just kind of got their songwriting mojo back on this one.
Testify.
Yeah.
No, I'm telling you to testify.
And that
song's a little...
Yeah, there's uneven moments on it, for sure. Testify is one of those uneven moments where it's not so offensive that you want to skip it, but you're just sort of okay, whatever. Hammerfall is so deep in their career, their first two albums, first three arguably, are so iconic in my mind as a power metal fan that I think it's unfair to compare a new release by Hammerfall to... Legacy of Kings or Glory to the Brave. I just don't want to. I hold those up in the pantheon, and I think that everything else should be compared to Crimson Thunder or Renegade or
Chapter five.
Yeah. You know, stuff like that where it's like, okay, like mid-period Hammerfall, later Hammerfall. And this one I would put, you know, right alongside some of those like Crimson Thunder and stuff. Like it's really enjoyable. I love the ballad on here so much.
Do you really?
I love Hammerfall ballads. I don't care what anyone is doing with their facial expression right now, cringing or whatever. Whatever you're doing. This is a fact.
I'm not doing shit.
Hammerfall has an uncanny way of making really memorable, heartfelt ballads. And this is another one for the Pantheon, and they haven't really gotten that right on the last two records, weirdly enough. But I think they finally landed it.
I like Built to Last. I thought it was a great album.
You know, it's not bad. I don't think they ever released a bad album, but I just – well, I guess that's debatable.
Which one are you going to say? You're going to say Infected?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Which I actually enjoyed that album. I can see your point, though.
Yeah, I mean, that was borderline, like, mediocre to bad. But anyway, so I enjoyed this one. Was happy to see Banger TV give it some attention, give Power Metal some attention, review this on there.
I watched that video, the YouTube review. Speaking of Banger TV real quick, did you watch the second season of What's Your Guitar?
No, not yet.
I watched that.
I need to.
What's it called again?
Shredder
the Metal.
Yeah,
it's fun. They're short and sweet, and I don't know. I have a lot of fun watching those.
Yeah, I keep hoping that they're gonna bring back Lockhorns, but I guess they're just putting that off for some reason. Like
they haven't done one in a while. Waiting.
Yeah, it's been like a year almost.
I mean, they've
or something.
Gone through most of the genres you can do.
But not all of them.
No.
And certainly not a lot of the minor subgenres or, you know, like mini subgenres and stuff. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lockhorns was always a little bit of a little weird thing. It was a little awkward to watch sometimes. Production wise,
it's been a little janky. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was almost out on Banger TV after I saw the review for the, what was the band that had the record based on the comic? The little comic book graphic novel we had here.
Beelzebubs?
Yeah. When they reviewed that album and they took it so seriously and they trashed it, Sarah and what's the other guy's name who's in the metalcore, the two reviewers there. Anyway, they just bummed me out. And I was just like, seriously? You guys are going to take this that seriously? Where they're like, it doesn't contribute anything to the genre. And I was just like, what am I, is this... What? You know? And
really?
If you go and watch the review, it's infuriating. You're just sort of like...
I don't know if I want to.
Yeah, I wouldn't put yourself through the misery. And I was just sort of... And I'm a Patreon member, and I was just like, man, I think I'm out. I think I'm out on this. And I went from like a $5 tier to a $1. I'm like, no, I still support it, but I need to support some other stuff right now, because I have like Patreons going for four things right now, so I need to scale that back maybe.
So. Oh, you should just devote all your money to MSRcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So let's get into Hammerfall. This is the song Dead by Dawn.
Yeah.
And it's not a cover of the Deicide song.
Is there a Deicide song?
Yeah.
Dead by Dawn?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Am I forgetting something obvious? What album was that on?
Early Deicide, maybe second or third album. Maybe first. I can't remember right now.
Okay.
Don't yell at me. Don't yell at your wherever you're listening to this.
Yeah,
don't
it's
yell
been a while since I've listened to Deicide.
Yeah. But this is from the album Dominion. Let's check it out. Hammerfall.
Circle and keep your eyes shut. Go!
Hey, welcome back to MSRcast 225. And that was, I'm going to have trouble with this. This was a song by a band that you have picked out called Murkgand.
Murkgand?
Murkgand. Okay, that sounds better. Song called Aquariu.
Sure.
From the album Old Mystical Tales. And I love the cover art for this record. And when we were listening to it before the show, that intro riff starts, and I'm looking at the cover art, and I turn to you and I go, I really hope I like this, because the riff and the cover art are like right in my wheelhouse. So
before we talk about who the band is, what did you think about it?
I mean, I really enjoyed it. It's sort of like this weird mix of sort of folk metal, power metal infused together, a little bit of black metal, and yeah. I like that. I mean,
very raw sounding style to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good. It's a one man band. I'll tell you that much.
That's nice.
they are from Brazil. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So
easily thinking Sweden.
His guy's name is Dimitri Luna. It's a one-man project based on mythology, fantasy, monsters. And the project counts on special guest apparitions from bands like Symphony X, Mystifier, November's Doom, and much, much more.
Okay.
So the song we just played is how I found out about him. Vito from November's Doom plays the guitar solo on this track.
Okay.
And he posted about it. So I went and checked it out, and I really got into it. It was really good.
Yeah.
So... Who, speaking of, November's Doom have a new album coming out in November, I think. They released. Oh, so that's surprising. I didn't even see that.
Yeah.
But they released a one-minute sample of it today, and it's pretty good.
I mean, it's been 2 years since
Hamarda. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's about time.
I think we'll have them on the show soon.
I really enjoyed the heck out of that record. Because every now and then I'm in that mood for it, and I'll go back and play it, and it's so good.
My phone just beeped and told me to go to bed to get my full sleep for work tomorrow.
Shut up, phone.
We're not going to do that right now. But yeah, Murkgand, I hope I am saying that correctly. This is their second full-length release. They've done a lot of singles and demos and stuff like that. But yeah, check them out. Get some good shit, man. Little combination of everything that I like.
Yeah.
Power, like you said, folk metal, power metal. There's the blacking stuff in here. There's awesome, like, guitar wankery. And
yeah.
A little bit of everything in here.
Good clean vocal, too. I like the vocal, too.
Let's go on to the next thing, which is I'm a fan. I'm a fan of Paul Di'Anno.
No, I like Paul Di'Anno.
Okay.
On Iron Maiden and Killers. I could never get into Battlezone or anything like that, you know. I can't say I've listened to any solo Paul Di'Anno lately. So is this just like him redoing stuff?
Pretty much. It's called Tales from the Beast. It's a new compilation. He went back and re-recorded a bunch of old Iron Maiden tracks that he was involved with. And did some other covers too, which is interesting. So we did a bunch of Iron Maiden stuff, Van Halen, Led Zeppelin, Megadeth, that one's not good. I'll say that right now.
What's the Van Halen one?
Are you talking about Love?
Pass.
Yeah. I'm not we're not going to get into the Van Halen, Van Hagar situation right now. But, he does a cover of Bad.
Michael Jackson?
Yes.
Okay.
It's just as bad as you think it would be. One of my favorite Iron Maiden tracks of all time, especially from the early days, it wasn't really on an album. It was just a single.
Right.
Woman in Uniform, which is a cover from another band, actually.
Right,
Back in the day.
Yeah.
And I enjoy this version of it. It's one of my favorite Paul Di'Anno-led Iron Maiden tracks.
Yeah.
Still, I just recently, maybe a year or two ago, bought the 7-inch vinyl, but I still have the old CD single and the cassette single from it. The ka-single.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, is it fair to say...
I don't like where this is going.
Well, with Paul Di'Anno, it's just like, because you sometimes you think like, Huh, I wonder why you didn't try taking a stab at some other maid, like Bruce era maid and stuff, you know, just for that. Because Bruce will sing some Blaze songs, right, you know, live. And
Bruce definitely sang some Deano songs.
Right. I mean, and I just feel like, hey, Deano, take a stab at.
I don't know if I want that. I don't think Deano, he couldn't.
I just don't even think that it's in his character to do that, though, because he is just this rough and tumble kind of guy who wants to sing. Like, the lyrics in the first two Iron Maiden albums, they weren't really riddled with the complexity of later Bruce era Iron Maiden, Iron Maiden. Some exceptions are, you know, like Phantom of the Opera and stuff like that. It's like, okay, I can see sort of how, but even that's still very simplistic, and that kind of fits his vocal delivery and his character.
You said rough and gruff, and it brings that sort of punk attitude.
Yeah, And the thing is, there's just so little you can do with that aside from just hopefully form another band and take that kind of swagger with you. And he never really did that. I don't think Battlezone ever accomplished that. Maybe some people were would really disagree with that sentiment.
Battlezone's
Paul Deano is one of those guys where I just kind of I respect his legacy in terms of what he did for Maiden. I think that when he was in Maiden and they did those two albums and you go back and you watch old footage from that era, you're just kind of like, yeah, that guy was amazing. He was perfect for that band. And then you realize that was pretty much all they could do with them. And I don't know. It's just I feel really detached from him. A lot of people say that those are their two favorite Maiden albums. And I just can't fathom having that point of view ever, hearing, you know, what came after. So, but I will agree, Women in Uniform, fun song, kind of an overlooked little gem from that era.
Totally. Yeah. Agreed. So let's get into it. This is Paul Deano's version of Women in Uniform from the new release called Tales from the Beast on Cleopatra Records.
Oh, of course. It's Cleopatra Records.
Did I even have to say it?
I can't believe they're still around.
Oh, yeah.
No disrespect to Cleopatra Records. You guys keep doing what you're doing.
And they shall. All right, let's get into it. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back. Far from home and far away from the European fronts, one man joins forces with an unlikely ally with whom he conducts raid after raid and forces the enemy to redistribute his armies. The sun burns the desert sand as the legend in Arabia grows. The man is T.E. Lawrence, and these are the Seven Pillars of Wisdom.
Side by side, raid the Ottoman rail. Lead the charge, speed of Medina, Damascus falls. Sabotage, demolish the bridges to dust. As the darkness falls and Arabia calls, on the species wings as the battle begins. May the land lay claim unto Lawrence's name. Seven pillars of wisdom lights the flame. After the war has been won, deception or treason, who can tell? Who stood to gain? Who stood to lose? Who did the dying? Betrayal or trust from within, or compel? The pillars of wisdom can tell. Back home where a new life awaits, whispers of past, the sands of Arabia.
Back, my friends. That was Sabaton, the Seven Pillars of Wisdom. And if you notice anything strange in the beginning of that track, it's from what they call the history version. So it's sort of like I don't want to say spoken word, but
they have like a little historical narrative framing
commentary,
intro, yeah.
Which is interesting for that album.
Yeah,
and they released that in physical version too.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then there's like a soundtrack version, which is just like the orchestral stuff, and they had like Flora Johnson come in and do some additional vocals for some of the stuff.
Wait, what?
Like traditional like vocalizations, like melodic, like kind of wordless, like singing type stuff
on the
first track, and then like a couple of songs in the middle, I think.
You said on the orchestral version?
I haven't
heard that yet.
It's just like instrumental, no vocals, and they record this with an orchestra.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what that is.
Huh. I'm going to have to check that out.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think it's on Spotify. Worth checking out. So you didn't care for the new Sabaton record that much, right?
I'm not going to say that. It's just something that's not hitting home with me.
Right.
Maybe it's the production, maybe it's the drums are a little muted. Even we heard two different versions of it.
Right. I will say it does sound stranger coming from your computer. It doesn't sound the way it hits.
Well, I don't have a huge speaker set up here either, you know.
No, but like even when I listen to it on my headphones or in my car, it just sounds like it sounds like normal Sabaton to me, but when I hear it here, I can hear what you're telling me about the drums sounding a little bit muted, and I don't get that when I listen to it somewhere else. So I don't know if that's has anything to do with it.
Maybe it's where I'm experiencing it.
Maybe, yeah.
I don't know.
So you were just sort of meh on the album overall.
The album's okay. I mean, it's. I hate to say it like this, but it's Mott's. You know what that means? More of the same.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But that's not a bad thing, but it's not. There's been so much better music, in my opinion, that I've heard so far this year that's not really
standing out to you.
Exactly.
Right.
If it was a slow year and there was like, it wasn't that many releases that were in my mind's eye, it might be a different opinion.
Right.
But right now, yeah, it's not. And there's a lot more albums coming out this year that I'm looking forward to.
Right, yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll see where it stacks up soon.
This is
the first time I ever realized that they sing about war.
I'm joking,
of course.
Aside from a few really stellar tracks on The Last Stand, I really kind of viewed that album unfavorably. I talked about it on the podcast at the time, and I wrote a pretty critical negative review about their album. I thought like they were retreading stuff, like even for themselves. Like I know Sabaton's gonna sound like Sabaton. That's kind of the punchline. Like but to me that's like it's such an easy lame punchline because it's like criticizing AC/DC for sounding like AC/DC. Like, are you criticizing Bologna for being Bologna? You know what I mean? It's like. It is what it is. They're going to sound like how they sound like. They're going to sing about what they sing about because it's made them super successful. So you have to get past that. And I think we're all on board on that. The way we look at Sabaton albums, I think here on the podcast is where is it in relation to the other Sabaton stuff that we actually really enjoy. And for me, it's like Carolus Rex is up there. The Art of War is up there. And I honestly put this one right up next to those two. I have listened to this album like over and over and over again. I think there's two things. I think the thing is the variation in songwriting because of the theme of the album is so dark has forced them to do really interesting, inventive stuff. I think like a song like The Great War is one of their most epic, just dramatic, thrilling songs of all time. I think the song we just played, Seven Pillars of Wisdom, is my favorite song on the album just because it's so – it really kind of captures that sort of imperial clashing with, you know, the Arabian atmosphere. It has that kind of – it reminds me of Lawrence of Arabia. Like it has that kind of triumph of like spirit and stuff in there. And – a song like The Red Baron, which is like one of the weirder songs they've ever done, which was kind of that weird kind of waltzy kind of up-tempo melody. It really kind of brings to mind like the idea of these planes in the air and stuff. I think they really nailed like the idea of like musical variation because the album theme is so wide and so broad. Tommy Johansson from Majestica / Rainseed.
Yeah.
He has made the musical aspect of this band come alive to me. His solos are so inventive. He often veers away from the vocal melody where former Sabaton guitarists would like cling to it like a life preserver because love him or hate him, Joachim Broden's a fucking master at writing vocal melodies. That's why legions of fans in fields in Europe sing along to his songs because he knows how to do that really well. And you have to give him credit where credit's due. But Tommy is the kind of guitarist they really need in this band because rather than just having a guitarist who will go along with Joachim's melody, he'll veer off and shoot off into rapid fire like counterpoints where his solo melody.
He is an amazing guitar player.
He's so inventive. And the thing is like he'll even like change the tempos up. Like he'll go off on a rapid tempo when the song's at a mid-tempo thing and you're just kind of like, whoa, that's unexpected. Hearing him play, he's the MVP of the album. Without him, it would have been kind of like a substandard record. He elevated it into something that I really thought was great. And Joachim did a great job too. He sounds great. The songwriting's really great. He took some chances. The Red Baron is a really incredible song. There's other stuff on here, like Fields of Verdun is very like standard Sabaton-y, but it's still really well executed, where I'm like, yeah, I want to hear that song live. And just listening to this album made me so disappointed that that Sabaton Hammerfall tour is not coming to Houston.
I know.
Like, I can't see myself driving to Dallas again in like a month, you know?
I'm tempted, possibly, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's just...
If you're in, I'm in.
What day of the week is it? I don't know. But it's just, I mean, I know it's in a month.
Sold out, though, I think, too.
Honestly, the fact that Demons and Wizards got that many people in there, I can't imagine how many people will be there for Sabaton. So, yeah. But I really love this album, and I was so happy that they landed this one. And, you know, the success they've had on it is pretty incredible.
It's October 8th.
October 8th. Yeah, see, there's a lot of shows around that time,
Tuesdays
too.
Tuesdays as well.
That's rough.
Doesn't make it easy for me.
No. But maybe they'll come back and do a second leg or something. So,
and the only thing they have available right now are verified resale tickets, about $159 each.
You know what's interesting is that Amon Amarth show in town soon, Amon Amarth Archenemy, the standard ticket for that is like $55.
What?
At House of Blues.
Wow.
Yeah, because a friend of mine, Jason, was going to go. He was like, well, I want to go see At the Gates again. And he's like, wait, $55 for like an 8-song At the Gates set? Nope. So.
Yeah, Sabaton and Hammerfall is sold out.
Is that, that's Gas Monkey Live?
House of Blues.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I would bet that they could sell out Gas Monkey Live too, as big as that place was.
Is Gas Monkey bigger than House of Blues, you think?
It has to be. That place was enormous.
Okay.
They had a bar in this place that was a huge guitar. It was shaped like a huge guitar. I mean, this was one of the biggest bars I've seen physically. You can like go at it from any direction. It was a very impressive venue. Good job, Dallas.
Cool. So before Sabaton, we had Paul Di'Anno from the new album, Tales from the Beast, which is a re-recording of a bunch of old classic Iron Maiden tracks and some other various novelty things.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Jackson, Van Halen.
Yeah.
Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just the typical standards, you know. Megadeth, not very good.
I mean, I guess the question is, if you want to hear Women in Uniform, would you listen to this? Would you go seek this one out, or would you go seek out the original recording from Iron Maiden back in the day?
Probably the original recording. I mean, listening to his voice is still top-notch.
He sounded good. He sounded ageless.
It's the production of it, the band supporting him,
yeah,
not as good.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's Iron Maiden.
Right.
Speaking of Iron Maiden, so let's take a quick moment to talk about my week.
Yeah.
I was on this cruise, right? Mm-hmm. It was me and my wife's 20th anniversary. We've had this plan. We've paid it off like 8 months ago. You know, we've had this thing planned. We had a great time. It was nice to get away.
Right.
Turn off the internet. Turn everything off. Just be with each other and away from everything.
Right.
The most metal on this ship was a couple of things. I took this whiskey masterclass.
Right.
And you saw the picture. It was fucking amazing.
I tried some of your whiskey.
You tried some of the whiskey that I made.
Yeah.
I was so drunk that day. And then they had this comedy club on board, right? Where they would bring different comedians. There were four comedians during the week. So the first part of the week, you would have two different ones. And then they would fly in two other ones at a port. And then you would have different comedians at the end of the week. So you didn't have to sit through the whole same thing over and over. One of them was a guy named Lenny Schmidt. They're not super famous people, but they were both really funny, the comedians that we saw. But the music that they played before the comedians go on, because we would see their late night set, which was more of the R-rated stuff.
Right.
They had this set list of music in the comedy club on the ship. And then during the day, it was other events and it. After the comedy club, it would turn into a nightclub type of deal. But you would hear AC/DC. You would hear Boston. You would hear fucking Iron Maiden, The Trooper. We're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
We're like, wait a minute. What's going on here? We both started, like, horns up right. The irons. And everybody's looking at us like, what the fuck is going on? We're just, like, fucking singing the words and shit. Right. Iron Maiden, come on.
Right.
That was the most metal part of the show.
No other metalheads perked up and like, oh.
No, it was probably just us.
Okay, well.
I didn't really meet any other metalheads on the ship this time, which is sad.
Was this like a family cruise type thing?
There was a lot of kids, yeah. A lot of, but it's Carnival, so there's not a lot of older people as some of the other ships tend to get. It's more of a party environment type of ship compared to some of the other ones. But right. I spent a lot of money on alcohol, that's for damn sure.
Right, yeah.
We hung out every night that was open in the piano bar. And I asked the guy, I'm like, hey, dude. After we were closing down, we stayed there almost till like 1, 2 in the morning every night, both nights. And it's like you go in there, and like after the first night, the bartender knows my name, knows my drink. Right. He's like, you want the usual? I'm like, fuck. I got a usual already?
Yeah.
And the bartender, I mean, the piano guy was great. But, you know, it's piano standard. But he would do other stuff, too. So you had your Billy Joel, your Elton John, your Queen medley, all that kind of stuff. But he would do other stuff.
Right.
It's fun. Like, I asked him one time, I was like, and they did a bunch of monkey stuff, of course, too.
Cool.
Like, do you know any heavy metal stuff? And he's like, what do you mean by heavy metal? I was like, okay, lost you there.
Okay, yeah.
So, yeah, it never really happened. I was like, Iron Maiden? Can you learn some Iron Maiden? I'll give you a 20 or something. Yeah. But it didn't really happen.
Huh.
It was a good time, though.
I would imagine, like, if I went to, like, a thing called a piano bar, I'd probably want to hear, like, Cole Porter songbook type stuff. Like, old, you know, that kind of...
He did do some old time, you know, like some Frank Sinatra. Right. He did a lot of Johnny Cash. He varied it around.
Right.
Did some 80s stuff, like Sweet Dreams and... He was a British guy, so he did a lot of British stuff I had never heard before.
Right.
But, you know, the same people were in there every night, so it's something to say for hanging out in there. It's fun.
Yeah.
You go in there about 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, and you just hang out in there, drink, and listen to some music.
Stumble to your cabin later.
Yeah. Sometimes.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, speaking of stumbling to my cabin with alcohol, let's talk about this next band that you picked called Frozen Crown.
Yeah.
I would love a Frozen Crown and Coke right now.
well, these guys, Sans the Alcohol, we played them on the show last year because they had an album out last year, their debut album.
Okay.
They're one of these bands who is basically like more of a, like, we're going to do albums really fast because we don't have time to tour or the ability to tour. They do play shows, but they're from Italy. They're a power metal band. We played them last year, and they were one of my favorite new bands coming out. And this is their second album. It came out a couple months ago. It sort of fell through the cracks because I knew it was coming out. I just didn't realize how early it was coming out. And then, you know, I realized my mistake and started listening to it. Significant improvement over the first album, the debut album.
That's good to hear.
But because what they do is sort of a mix of like power metal and melodic death, sort of like they mix Winter Sun and Sonata. And sort of get a good blend there. But they have their own Winter stamp Arctica. On it. Yeah. And they, good songwriter, this guy, Federico Mondelli, I hope I'm getting that guy's name right. He's the guitarist. He does some vocals, some sort of Yari, Mainpa type vocals and stuff. But the singer, Giada Etro, she is one of my favorite power metal singers right now. Really crystalline voice, just good tone and really sings with sort of force and conviction. And this song, In the Dark, we're going to play. This is about as perfect as a power metal song I can envision. It just the perfect hook, the perfect construction, and it just goes right for the jugular. I love this band so much.
Okay. This is Frozen Crown. The album is called Crowned in Frost. That could have been a little bit more original there.
Nope.
I'm just saying.
You gotta stick with your theme.
There's a theme going on for sure. This is a song called In the Dark, and check it out. We'll be right back.
Under the Witching Cross, and my favorite,
I Am Bewitched.
My favorite thing about that song is the Caligula chant at the end there. So this is from Bewitcher. That was what you just heard. I got to see them open for Holy Grail and Stryker, and I really went to that show a couple weeks ago to go see Stryker, and I almost blew my eardrums out because the whoever the sound guy was did not know how to mix like multiple vocal channels. So Stryker has like three guys singing on stage, and it would just like crank up so high, and it would like hurt your eardrum a little bit. And it scared the hell out of me, actually, that show. So I went and bought earplugs afterwards. I was like, all right, from now on, like, I need to start protecting myself. I know I'm an idiot for not wearing earplugs all this time. So, So I bought these, like, really expensive, like, $25 nice, like, universal fit earplugs. And I forgot them for Demons and Wizards.
Yeah, of course.
I packed them and I left them in the hotel room. So, but anyway, so Stryker was kind of a bust because the sound was kind of meh.
Yeah.
And Holy Grail just sucks. I'm sorry. No disrespect to Holy Grail fans, but I
think I've seen them live.
I don't get what the appeal is of a guy who goes on stage and sings and headbangs at the same time. Like, that doesn't help you sing better, bro. Like, calm down and sing. Like, first of all, that your songs just suck. Anyway, Bewitcher stole the show, and I'm glad I went to the show just to see them. And I think about half the crowd left after Bewitcher too, weirdly enough, which kind of sucks for Stryker. But they're so punchy and so aggressive and dirty, and it was like this. It was just cool to see this three piece on stage, just kind of owning it. And like, they left me wanting more. Like, I had no idea who they were when they came on stage. I had no idea what they would sound like. And then when they started playing, I'm like, okay, this makes sense. And the songs, I know it, this is a rare thing that happens for me where I don't know a band's songs. I don't know who they are. And I can and I see one or two songs of their set and I'm like, yeah, I'm on board with this. And their songs are like built simply enough to where you can easily start getting into it and you anticipate like what the next thing is pretty accurately. And I immediately went and got the record after this, after listening to them. The album is just as good as the live show. So if you get a chance to see Bewitcher live, I recommend it. They're intense live. They kind of remind me of like a more blackened Bat.
Mm.
And it's weird because I saw them in the same upstairs room that I saw Bat in at the Hell's Heroes Fest. And there was significantly less people there.
Hell's Hero 3 is going to happen.
Yeah, I know.
Don't know the band yet, but...
I didn't get a chance to buy the discount early tickets, mostly because I waffled on. I was just like, well, I want to go because it was so fun, but I don't know what kind of lineup they're going to have, like if it's going to be all like one thing or another. I thought that the diversity they had last time was like the key to its success, you know?
Sure, of course.
So I hope they do that.
Frozen Crown.
Yeah.
Epic power metal. Different than I thought it was going to be.
I love that song so much. It's just, it's such a, like a fist in the air type of like anthem, you know, like a power metal anthem.
I like her vocals. His clean vocals, not so much.
Yeah.
It was so little of it too.
Yeah. He does a lot of accent type stuff. She's really largely the vocalist. He does, on other songs through the record, he'll do a kind of like a screaming vocal, which he's pretty good at. But he's the one writing the hook, so I'll give him a lot of respect. And a song like that, just like a perfect power metal, a perfect slice of power metal. It's emblematic to me of what I love about that genre, and definitely will be in my songs of the year list. That this one song. So, and there's other great songs on the album too. So,
album contender.
It should be at least a nominee. You know, there's some uneven moments on the record, repetitive stuff, but overall, it's way better than their debut, which I really enjoyed too. So they're just a good band, and I think if they sort of keep working at this clip, and again, I'm bringing this up again, I sound like a broken record, but these power metal bands and these traditional metal bands who are coming out and just sort of being okay with the fact that they're not going to make a living touring, so they're committed to releasing as many records as they can. I love that because it means like more creative output for us. Because for me, as much as I appreciate seeing Demons and Wizards and stuff, and I appreciate seeing like any live show, the albums matter more to me as a metal fan than anything else. So, the fact that I haven't gotten to see Therion live doesn't detract from my loving Therion, you know? So, artistic legacy and albums matter more than, you know, whether you can make a living off of touring. And that, I think a lot of people, musicians in the scene, are okay with that being like an open thing now. So, yeah.
So, speaking of big festival shows in America, this weekend starts Prog Power. Actually, tonight, as we record, starts Prog Power.
Right. This was the first day.
The Wednesday show. I am so jealous of this lineup, dude.
Right.
The whole weekend, dude.
Yeah.
Tonight was Insomnium, Sanctuary, Theocracy, and While Heaven Wept.
Right.
Diverse as fuck lineup. But all great bands, and one of my favorite bands of all time playing tonight. A friend of mine posted video from the show. I was like, oh, at least I get to see him next year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Insomnium, of course.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night, Thursday, you have Evergrey. I hope I'm saying this correct. Galneris.
Yeah, from Japan.
Yep. Mayan and Tomorrow's Eve. I like Mayan a lot, too.
Yeah.
And then, shit, Friday you have Seventh Wonder, Orden Ogon, Psychotic Waltz, Barren Earth, Subsignal, and Paladin got added to it.
Right, yeah.
And then Saturday, Sorcerer, who would be amazing to see live, Yogg-Panzer, who I've seen them live, but it's been a long, long time.
Right.
Caligula's Horse, Poets of the Fall, Threshold. You know they're one of my favorite bands, one of my guilty pleasures.
Yeah.
And some band that you might have seen recently called Demons and Wizards.
Yeah.
So yeah. If I was up to speed, I would have gone to Prog Power this year.
Yeah. Ancient Bards were supposed to be there, but the visa issue thing. That,
oh, yeah.
If you read like their whole account of it, it's so depressing. But they got, I guess, Paladin was the fill-in, and they're from Atlanta. They're from the same town, so it was an easy fill-in. So that was good that it worked out for them. Shout-out to the Powerful podcast crew. 3 out of 4 of the main people are there. Kyle, Andrew, Stella are out there right now, and I'm looking at their Instagram and all the shots they had of, like, the footage today.
I don't want to look at it.
And it's cool. I'm happy for them. They're having a good time. The social element of it, they're telling me, doesn't seem to be that like rowdy as it was back in the day, because my friend Matt Roy went in 2005 when Therion and Blind Guardian and Ed Guy were there, and he said like the parties were nonstop, like all throughout the night into the morning, that kind of thing. So wow. I think that era is like tamed down of the festival, but yeah, it's cool. I mean, While Heaven Wept, I think this is their last show.
Yeah, they said that
ever.
Yeah. They're so, from Chicago, I believe.
It makes me think, like, are they just – I hope they're going to keep doing records, or if they're just going to break
know.
Up.
Yeah.
I
would kill to fucking see Threshold, though.
What Irving Rain, the singer from While Heaven Wept. I follow him on Twitter. We sometimes, like, talk, like, fantasy football and stuff, so I'll have to ask him, like –
That's geeky.
Any records? any more new music?
It's been a while, since they put anything out, hasn't it?
It's been a couple of years. That Suspended at Aphelion was the last one. That was like 2014 or something like that. It was a good record, too. So
yeah. If you guys are out there, well, by the time you listen to this, if you have been to Prog Power, we want to know about it.
Yeah.
Tweet at us at MSRcast. On Instagram, send us an email, msrcast@gmail.com. Let us know your experience.
Yeah.
I know a couple of our fans go every year. So I'm looking forward to seeing how they enjoyed it.
Yeah. Especially came to catch Theocracy live, that's a rare catch. It, you know, like the fact that they only really do festivals in the States makes me really thankful that I got to see them in this weird like mini Texas tour they did.
Haven't enough bands for next year yet, have they?
No.
They probably do that when it's over.
Probably.
I gotta make it out there 1 year, dude.
Yeah.
And I gotta do the 70,000 tons of metal.
Yeah.
I like cruises and I fucking love metal.
Yeah, I mean that to me is a no brainer.
It's a no brainer. I just need to do it.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. We're gonna hear a band called Venture C now.
Yeah.
Did I say Venture Sorg? No, I said Venture C.
I think that Venture Sorg needs to look into following the trademark infringement.
I don't know about that.
I actually really liked everything I heard from them.
I do too.
I was a little skeptical at first, and then I was just like, well, this is actually really interesting musically.
So
good vocalist too.
Yes, they are. This album comes out the end of September. This is their second full-length album. It's called Illuminated.
Illuminated. Okay, yeah.
They're from the Portland area, Oregon. Their singer, female vocalist, I think when I looked up earlier, she's from Malaysia. Great vocals. Okay, so this band, it's really hard to describe. They're black metal, they're power metal, they're folk metal, they're prog metal. They're everything in between there at certain times. They just have a really great style to their songwriting. Their guitar tone works for what they're working with. So when there's like a fast black metal blast beat part, they do a really great job. I'm super impressed by this band. I just discovered them today. Like I sent the promo. I'm like, you know what? Check out something new.
Yeah.
And it just blew me away.
Especially that second song we were listening to where that riff kind of broke out of nowhere.
We're going to play that song right now.
Yeah. And you'll hear this moment where you're just sort of like, oh, Borknagar, you know, like.
Oh, yeah. Borknagar, totally on this song.
Yeah. I mean, and I love the kind of diversity that they got going on in the riffs and stuff. It could have been really easy for them to maybe take a step back and make everything more simplified. And let the vocalist just kind of dominate. And they don't. They really, the guitarists are up front.
They attack the songwriting and the playing like a prog metal band.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is not, that's not saying anything bad. It's just everything is a focus in the band.
Right.
So, like Dream Theater, everything, you have the vocals, you have the guitars, you have drums, you have bass. Everything is, if you didn't have one of those things up front, it wouldn't be a cohesive thing. And I feel that way with this band.
Yeah.
That they, I mean, even with like I said, the fast blast beating stuff that they do, the black metal stuff, it still feels cohesive enough. You
it
know?
Was interesting that the song we were listening to them with the music video, how it started off sounding one way, like very early Lacuna Coil-ish.
Sure, yeah.
And then it transitioned into something
else. It went into like a interlude part, and then it came back, and it was a totally different song.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, I like the diversity, and I like how they're always kind of keeping me guessing. So it's intriguing enough for me to dive into the album now. So
yeah, check them out. They're called Venture C. The track is the last track on the new album, called Befallen, and the album is called Illuminated. That's how I felt when I discovered them today. I was illuminated.
Okay,
there you go.
Very good.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to MSR Cast 225.
I fucking love that Delilah song.
With Delilah.
What'd you call it?
This band's called Dialith.
Yep.
Which is a strange name. I don't really know what it means. They're from Danbury, Connecticut. I like saying Danbury, Connecticut.
Most metal bands are from.
Weirdly enough, the first time I heard about this band was on that Hammerfall review that Banger TV did. And Blaine mentioned at the end that, you know, if you're into power metal, check out this band Dialith. And I'm like, well, this guy giving the power metal recommendation, that's unusual.
Yeah.
So I'll go I'll immediately check them out. And he was right. This is an incredible debut record from a new band that is it's melodic, but it's heavy and really complex kind of variations in the riffs and drum patterns and everything. And the vocalist is really great. She has like a, I would say just like a pretty straightforward vocal approach, not really kind of an uplifting power metal thing. She can go up, but she can do really well in lower registers and kind of compete with the riffs and not get kind of, you know, crowded out and stuff.
Played a lot of female fronted power metal tonight.
You know, and it's weird. It's not even someone's gonna hear that and cringe because now it's like the phrase female fronted. I get it. Like I don't really use it myself.
Well, I mean, female.
It's just
right?
A fact. You're stating that the vocalist is a woman. It's just one of these weird things where
whatever they decide to identify as.
Yeah.
That's fine.
It just so happens, and it's not even on purpose, that all these bands I like now, these newer bands, just happen to have singers that are women. When I first heard Frozen Crown, I did not know it was Giada was the lady. I didn't know who the vocalist was. Went and researched the band on Metallum and was like, oh, okay, that's interesting. That's cool. Like, great vocal. It just like sometimes a good power metal voice is a good power metal voice, and it doesn't have to sound one way or the other. She, you know, is the same way. Yeah. For Dialith, where it's like,
you almost called it Delilah.
Just a good vote, like just a good voice for the band, and just sort of the same way, you know, Brittany is a great voice for Unleash the Archers. Who, shout out to them for that great cover of the Stan Rogers classic. Northwest Passage, they just unleashed.
Who's the cover of?
Stan Rogers. He's this Canadian folk singer who's really beloved in that country, and he wrote this song called The Northwest Passage that a lot of Canadian people kind of feel like could be their alternative national anthem. And so Unleashed
the
Archers.
I've heard their cover. I heard the track. I didn't know it was a cover.
Yeah, they did a cover of it, and it's a really great cover. I love the original too, because the original is just this a cappella, just this smoky voice singing the song. But yeah, there's something about just like this renaissance of power metal bands happen to be fronted by like female vocalists women vocalists who are really great. And I don't know what's going on. It's just.
It is what it is.
It is what it is, you know?
We're not saying anything negative or positive or just stating the facts.
If anything, I think for me, I've always, you know, like it's weird because like bands like Lacuna Coil, I'm not, you know, that much of a fan of Ginger. I can't really get into, It doesn't always work for me, my tastes. But in power metal, it just somehow, it clicks, you know? And like progressive metal, power metal, like Triosphere and stuff like that, it really works. And like with Arion, you know, and what he does with Annika and stuff, like all that stuff works. I don't know why.
Annika just works.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I think there's like good talent out there that's just kind of finding its way to metal, like where they want to be in metal bands instead of doing something else.
Speaking of Annika, I get to meet her next month.
Oh yeah, the VIP.
Yes.
The
Amorphous. Who else was on that?
I was scrambling the other day. I was like, oh man, I really should buy a ticket for that, and I realized I forgot that I bought a ticket earlier. I'm glad I checked.
You already have a ticket?
Oh yeah, because I got the ticket during the Thanksgiving Black Friday sale.
That's when I bought mine.
So.
Who is the other band? Is it Delane?
It has to be Delane.
Does it have to be?
It's Amorphous, Delane and Annika, right?
Yes, Annika's opening. It feels like I've seen Delane so many times, and I don't particularly care for them.
You always see Delane in context of some other band you want to go see.
Like Hammerfall, and they play with Hammerfall.
Or Sonata Arctica. Or,
yep.
Yeah. I think I've seen them for Nightwish. No, maybe not. Maybe not Nightwish. Camelot, I know I've seen them.
Nightwish.
With, yeah.
Last time I saw Nightwish, it was with Sabaton.
Sabaton, right, yeah.
Hmm. Wow. Yeah. So, speaking of, what other concerts are you looking forward to this coming up this year? Or even in next, in 2020?
Well,
2020.
2020, definitely the obviously the big ones would be the Insomnium, Omnium.
Gatherum.
Well. And I'm really interested in Seven Spires, the opening band on that, because Adrienne Cowan, she's a native Houstonian, I believe. She lives in Houston. And she was the backing vocalist on Avantasia.
That's her band.
That's her band.
Oh, so because she's great.
I didn't because when she they were doing a little mini tour in between the Avantasia festival dates and they did a show in Houston. She's like, "I'm so glad I get to be in my own bed tonight." And I was like, "You live in Houston?" So
I didn't know that.
So yeah, she's local here, so that's cool to see. And
I know she got her start by doing YouTube videos.
Yeah. And then I guess she got noticed by Sasha, and Sasha brought her into the album, and she did a great job.
Oh, yeah. She was phenomenal.
The big one, obviously,
she had some guttural stuff going on.
Right, yeah.
People
she was doing Millais stuff,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, she was, for sure.
Well, Maiden. Maiden's the big one this month on the 22nd.
Who?
There's some band called Iron Maiden.
Oh, Iron Maiden.
Yeah.
Iron Maiden.
On the 22nd, Sunday. It's going to be a fun time.
It's going to be a weird weekend for me. I'm driving. Okay, this is weird. I'm going to Austin that weekend because my wife is going to. We totally missed. We had our timing wrong on this. She's going to a bachelorette party near Austin, so which starts on Friday, and lasts till Sunday. Mm. So what we're gonna have to do is I'm gonna have to drive her up there, hang out in Austin area for a couple days,
right?
And then pick her up early that morning. Drive back to Houston for the Iron Maiden show. But before Iron Maiden, at this local pub right in the Woodlands, there's this Iron Maiden fan club meet, and Derek Riggs is going to be there doing autographs and selling stuff and things like that.
Oh, that's cool.
I want something autographed.
Do you have to be a member of the fan club to attend?
No, you do not.
Oh, okay.
No.
Oh.
They're just sponsoring it from what I can tell.
Okay. All right, well, that's cool.
I'll send you an invite to the thing.
Okay, I'll see if I can convince those guys to get up earlier.
Get up early, yeah. It starts at 2 to 7 or something. Like that.
I don't imagine we would leave until the Texans game is done. So,
we're gonna probably drive back early that day, and
it's gonna be a casual Maiden show for us in a weird way because we're gonna be on the lawn and we're not really concerned with how close we are to the front, so we're gonna be like. Hopefully drinking Modelo is back there and just kind of like, yes, this is great.
We bought we didn't buy lawn tickets, but we bought the I don't think they're covered, but one of the seats that we bought were the same price as lawn.
Right.
So I'd rather sit in the lawn, truthfully.
Get
a blanket, you know, hang out.
The freedom to kind of walk around and move around and stuff.
Sandwiched in with people you don't know.
Right, yeah. 2 Wednesdays from today, I am going to be seeing X and the Squeeze in this show that I got free tickets to go to.
Just Squeeze, not the Squeeze.
Yeah, right? Squeeze and X.
They had a popular song in the 80s. Like, it was really...
They had a few... Mostly were big in the UK.
Yeah.
They had that really awesome song on the Hacker soundtrack.
Okay.
Like, the play during the credits and stuff. But X, I need to go bone up on them. I don't really know much about them.
What about the Amon Amarth, Arch Enemy, Grand Magus?
When is that happening? Because I'm not going to that.
At the gate.
Yeah, I'm skipping that one. You're going, right?
I don't have tickets, no.
Okay. It's $55 a pop.
That's hard.
Yeah. For a House of Blues gig, it's like, okay, I get it, like how like Amon Amarth is a big name and that could attract that kind of price, but you'd pay more for that than Maiden. Like, I'm paying less for a Maiden ticket. I don't think so. You know?
No.
Sorry, Amon. I've already seen you, and nah. already saw At the Gates at the same venue like last year or the year before.
I was at that show.
So, meh.
When they were here with, who were they with?
Behemoth.
That's right.
Wolves in the Throne Room.
That's right.
Yeah.
It was an awesome show.
It was good. It was good aside from the crowd. The bands are great. Yeah.
But there's some good stuff coming up.
Yeah, October is kind of loaded with stuff.
Yeah, like what?
Aside from the Amorphous thing, there's also
Amorphous. My birthday.
I know we're gonna the same night Maiden's here. We're gonna miss the Elevades show because they're gonna be playing the same night.
And I would have gone to that show.
Yeah, I would have gone too. I mean, Ginger's been playing the same night at Scout Bar, so it's like you have three major. Anyway. Weird routing.
Don't call it Ginger Major.
Well, major enough to be like a draw for a lot of people. But yeah, there's that Korpikalani is playing with Arcona. Arcona's headlining.
Really?
Yeah, and that's going to be at White Oak. And okay. I was kind of like eyeing that one, but I think a lot of these shows kind of blur into October. And they're all too close to each other. I want to go see, and this might be right next to the freaking Amorphous show, but I want to see Enforcers playing with somebody, and Warbringer
and Enforcer, yeah.
I think it's the day before the Amorphous show, so I don't know. And it's the same venue. It's like, am I going to go do back-to-back shows at Scout Bar, like, in the same?
Arcona,
I don't know.
Is tomorrow, dude.
Okay, well... Forget that then.
Deep Purple's coming again. Okay. October 5th, Municipal Waste and Napalm Death. I didn't even hear about that.
Right. Yeah. That was another one that people were
Cannibal
talking
Corpse
about.
Is coming. Who? Deicide. Not Deicide. I don't know why I have Deicide stuck in my mind. Who was it? Morbid Angel is coming with some other bands.
Yeah. That was a pretty interesting bill, actually, I think. I'm going to see this Latin power metal band or like heavy metal, trad metal, power metal band called La Rata Blanca in November 10th in some weird ass club, Latin club, off of like in some like kind of sketchy area of Houston in November 10th. I'm going to go and check them out because one of the hosts of the Powerful Podcast, Fernando, he kind of got me into them. Okay. He's like, hey, they're going to be playing in Houston. You have to go. I'm like, all right, for you, I'll go. So me and John are going to go head out to that and see how that is and should be an experience. So, yeah.
I'm pulling up my friend's website here. It's texasmetalconcerts.com, txmetalconcerts.com. That's a really comprehensive list of all the shows coming anywhere in Texas.
Yeah, everyone uses it.
Yeah, pretty much. There's interesting stuff coming, dude.
It's all just coming a little too quickly. It wasn't spread out enough. The summer was really thin out here in Texas.
You know who's playing tomorrow night at White Oak?
Uh-oh.
Besides Arcona? Okay.
Is it?
Black Tusk and Cloak.
Oh. Interesting.
We almost played Cloak this evening, but we're going to hold on to that.
So I'm guessing Arcona's playing downstairs and they're going to be way upstairs.
Maybe. Oh, yeah. We can't forget about the Sunday. It's the Slipknot Volbeat Gojira Behemoth show.
It's at Toyota Center or something?
It's at the Woodlands.
Wow.
Not going to that show.
Yeah, no.
Nothing's worse sitting through all the other bands to see Behemoth for 25 minutes.
Right, yeah.
Sorry if you like all the other band, but...
I gave the new Slipknot a listen just out of like...
I have too.
Yeah.
I give everything a check out. I check it out.
I gave it a once through and I gave the new Tool once through and I was like, well, that sounds like Slipknot and that sounds like Tool.
Yep. So that's what I came away with. Jeff Tate and Operation Mindcrime is coming. I have a little bit more respect after seeing him with Avantasia.
I won't...
Not enough to go see him?
He won't be met with derisive scorn. Like, his name won't be met with derisive scorn. He's done a good job in Avantasia.
You're right. Elievette. Wow. One night. Okay. Iron Maiden's in the Woodlands. This is Sunday, September 22nd.
I know.
Elgivete is at White Oak.
Right.
Ginger is at Scout Bar. And Black Label Society is at House of Blues.
Basically, one is in the center of Houston. The other one's in the very southeast corner of Houston. The other one's in the very northwest corner of Houston, like outside the city. It's just geographically all over the place, and you're all on the same day. Metalheads are just flying in different directions.
Right.
I mean,
that's unfortunate.
Unfortunate for Elevate and for Ginger, you're competing with Iron Maiden, you know, that same evening. It's like,
because a lot of Elevate fans are probably really big fans of Iron Maiden.
Yeah, and you buy the Maiden ticket first.
Yeah.
You know?
It's true. Wow, Obituary is touring with Abyss.
Yeah, that was gonna be appearing at the Gas Monkey, and I was like, oh, that would have been nice to see Abbott.
They're playing in Houston too.
Are they really?
Yeah, Austin. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Come and Take It.
Yep.
I wouldn't mind seeing them at that venue because it's so tiny.
And Immolation's coming.
Come and Take It Live is the exact opposite of the Gas Monkey Live.
Really?
In terms of size, it's just a small shoebox of a venue. But a nice shoebox. I'll give
them Delane
that.
And Amorphis. So it looks like Delane might be headlining, which means we could leave early.
Really? Interesting.
Maybe.
Did Dark Tranquility headline over Amorphis last time? They did.
They did, yes. They did indeed.
So, yeah, I would bet that Delane would headline over him. That's interesting.
Sebastian Bach is touring.
Yeah, I heard he's doing the entire... Like, why are you playing the first Skid Row album? Why aren't you doing... what's the second one? Slave? Is it Slave to the Grind?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, why aren't you doing Slave to the Grind? Like, the full... Whatever, I guess it's some kind of anniversary or something.
It's Morbid Angel, Watain, and Incantation.
Yeah.
Thursday, November 21st, because I remember when I first posted about it, Facebook auto-corrected Watain to Watson.
Watson.
And one of my friends, of course, called me out on it, and I replied back, after I fixed it, I said, elementary, my dear Watain. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of shows in a very small amount of time.
Oh, Dangerous Toys is coming back. The Acadia Bar.
Interesting.
Nile and Terrorizer are touring. DRI is going to be here in December. Cannabis Corpse. There's a band called Lemmy Kilmister. What?
Hopefully this is giving other people like who are listening to this like an alert on like, oh, these tours might be hitting our cities too.
They are.
And not just Houston. Like, oh, this is just the Houston corner here.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of good stuff
just
coming.
If you're hearing all these band names, just go check out your area because... Yeah, yeah. You have to pick and choose. You can't go to all of them.
If you're in the Texas area, check out the website, txmetalconcerts.com.
How many tickets are you going to buy for this stuff, you know?
You can't go to four concerts in one night. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, maybe in 1 week, but you're going to hate yourself at the end of that week.
You're right.
I mean, it's so crazy.
You sound old, dude.
It is that, but I also think, like, even when I was, like, 18 – I would go to shows a lot all the time, and by the end of the week, I was sort of like, all right, maybe I just want to chill out this Sunday or something, you know? So
there's something being said about hanging out on your couch, watching TV or playing video games.
Yeah, just like calm
not
down.
Not doing anything else.
Yeah.
That's a good day.
Yeah.
All right, so let's wrap up this episode. Thanks for tuning in. We have one more band to play, but we'll get to that in just a moment. Thanks for tuning in to episode number 225 of MSR Cast, your heavy metal podcast. You can find us all over the internet at MSRcast on Twitter, Facebook, all those places. Check out our sister show at the Metal Geeks, so on all the social medias. Check us out at MSRcast.com, MetalGeeks.net to find all the latest episodes. Subscribe to us on, iTunes. Leave us a review. You can find us on Spotify. You can find us on Google Play, and coming soon, one other place that we'll talk about soon.
Nice.
Yeah. Of course, you can check out my co-host over here on the internet at...
TheMetalPigeon.com, the new and improved MetalPigeon.com. The still under construction, TheMetalPigeon.com.
It's new. Let's leave it at that.
It's new.
Improving.
Yeah.
It's awesome, dude. Congrats.
I got some new reviews coming up soon, and hopefully over time it'll start... You know, I'll be able to fix up the rest of the older posts on there.
If you're a metal fan of our show, then you enjoy what we do and you want to help out, send us an email, msrcast@gmail.com. And if you want to help Sean work on his site, you want to help us rebuild the Metal Geeks MSRcast website, we'll take the help. We would love it.
Yeah.
We'll let you program a whole episode. And we'll do it. If you help us, we'll help you.
I'm sure it's like one of the things I did when I was looking to like, all right, what do I do for my site? I just went to other metal websites and was like, what are they doing? Where are they? What can I steal and stuff, you know? So, yeah.
Not steal. Pay homage.
How can I be inspired by my fellow metal colleagues?
Inspiration, you're paying homage.
Yes.
Not stealing.
Homage.
Homage. All right. Our last band of the evening is a local band.
Yeah.
Somebody you know quite well is in this band.
Yeah.
The band is called Sleeping Ancients. The album is called There Is No Truth But Death. This is in-your-face, raw, black metal.
Yeah, it's got kind of like an epic, sort of doomy aspect to it in some way.
The song we're going to play has doom elements built into it.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually saw them live, was it a half a year ago or something? Like 6 months ago, I think I saw them live, and they're having their record release show this Friday. I'm sure by the time you hear this, it will be over. But the album, basically what I'm saying is the album's going to be out on Friday.
Yep.
And I think they have their Bandcamp set up. It's going to be on Spotify. You can hear I think on Friday, their Invisible Oranges is going to have their album like preview up their website. So
that's amazing.
Yeah. So they're going full force and,
good job.
Cool. Yeah.
One of the guys in the band used to be in a band that you sort of managed for a while.
I didn't manage. I just kind of helped bring in their,
yeah, you're a manager.
I carried their gear in and ran their merch table.
So that's a manager.
Yeah.
You help book shows, right?
Not really. Oh, okay. I don't know who booked their shows. But they, yeah, but
we're talking about a band we've played on the show. We've had members, Brimwolf.
Brimwolf, yeah. So Brent used to drum for them.
That's right. He plays guitar now, right?
He plays bass, actually.
Bass.
Yeah.
I thought it was guitar. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm proud of him. He's done a good job in this band and the record. Like all the stuff I heard from the record, I heard a couple tracks from it. It sounded really good. I know I'm getting a promo. I actually have an email or something for the promo right now. I'm looking forward to sitting down and listening to it. I know they've been working on this for ages. They took a long time to get it right. So
that sounds really good. So let's get into Sleeping Ancient.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in again to this latest episode of MSRcast. We will see you on the Flippy Flop on the next episode.
Yep.
And as always,
keep it metal.
That's right.
Hey, Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.